bless you.
Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson, coming live from upstairs studios with...
Who?
With
Lisa.
You can say name.
Lisa Murphy.
I screwed it up because I went different. It wasn't like the routine, so...
Fired.
That's not good. I should get fired. And here comes my lovely wife and her...
She's all bundled up.
Bundled up pink wig.
She's cold today.
I pushed a button to make it get warmer. Today we are talking about QRS is what we're going to do. Well, it's kind of a couple different things. We're going to be talking another early learning Dragon Slayer.
Hi-ya!
An ass kicker. And it's going to revolve a little bit around QRS and not really QRS as a thing, but just kind of as QRS as an implementation story. And we'll see where
Tell
it goes
the folks at home what QRS means.
Quality rating system. Am I correct?
Or scale.
Scale. Oh, yes. Yeah. So let's call Amy. Amy's the expert. Amy's a family child care provider. And you know what? She's wearing a wig in the picture.
Oh, yes, she is.
Child Institution, this is I'm looking to help you.
Hey, is Amy home?
This is Jeffy.
This is Jeffy. How you doing, man?
How's it going, Jeffy?
It's going groovy. We're wearing wigs and drinking. I'm drinking. What am I drinking?
Bloody Mary.
And life is good. How are you?
Wow, Bloody Mary's on a Monday, huh?
Well, you know, it's a hard.
We're working.
It's a hard job.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. So. Hang on a second. I'll put the boss on.
Thank you, man.
Is that my power?
Hello.
I like you've got an answering service. That's so awesome.
Yes, I do. You know, anybody who answers the phone needs to answer our phone that way. It's something that my father ingrained in me, like at our house, even though it wasn't a business, it was Ahala's whoever speaking because there were five of us children and everybody thought we sounded alike.
So, and since you were siblings, you probably did. And it's good to know if something goes terribly wrong in the phone call, it's good to know who to blame too. That's always
yes,
good to have
exactly.
that going on. So,
exactly.
So how you doing, Amy?
I'm doing
Life
pretty well.
Good. Great. How's winter going in the UP?
The UP!
Yeah, you know, a little bit further north of us, they've had over 160 inches already this year.
Wow.
My mouth is open.
We talked a couple, well, it's a couple months ago now in podcast time. We talked to Kay down in Alabama, and we just had that cold streak.
Yeah.
And they had a couple flakes of snow, and their kids were freaking out because it was just
the
so awesome.
Stopped.
So, yeah, the Alabama stopped because there were three flakes of snow reported in the state. So I can't imagine those kids going up your way. That's awesome.
Oh, I know. Well, and we had that cold spell last week, too. It was really hard to get outside, and the schools were closed for an extra 3 days, so there was a little bit longer Christmas break than normal around here. But,
well, that's kind of awesome.
Things are, you know, back up and running.
That's good. And
the luge is almost done.
when I think it's cold here, I just Google the temperature up where you are, and then I quit
it's
whining.
A heat wave here.
And so, Amy, what we've been doing in episodes is we've been talking to what we've come to refer to as early learning dragon slayers, and just about what they're doing to improve the way things are in the profession. We've talked to Beth in North Dakota, who went out and decided that her kind of regimented, kind of academic-y program needed to be more play-based, and she changed that and has been taking baby steps to make that different. We talked to Kay down in Alabama, who's changing things down there by becoming an advocate and doing things like talking to the governor and that kind of stuff. We talked to Elsa out in Vermont, who has started this David and Goliath battle against the unions. And after hearing your experience with the QRS rollout in Michigan, I thought your story would be one to share. And so start out for us at the beginning, and let's make this as dramatic as possible. You're a family child care provider, and?
Well, you know, I was kind of in a position where I just graduated with my master's degree in kind of trying to decide if I wanted to stay in family child care.
Okay, we got to do a timeout. Okay. Lisa just got her master's, and now when you guys see each other ever, is there a secret handshake? Ooh, is
there a cold yes. wink?
Is, well, Lisa hasn't officially graduated now. So it, when you, I mean, you actually, is there like they hand you the diploma and then they teach you the handshake? Is
after that, they, right after they hood you.
They hood you and then teach you the hand. Okay, that's, it's never going to be something I'm going to do. So I just wanted to know if there the intricacies of it.
We'll film it in May when I go to
oh, yeah. play. Yeah, then I'll like slip it on somebody. I mean, like do the handshake and the lowdown. Oh, yeah, awesome. All right, enough of me goofing around. Go back to the story, Amy. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yep, no problem. So, you know, I was kind of contemplating whether I wanted to continue with my business or something else. And I hadn't really applied for any jobs, but a position opened up through our Great Start program. And they contacted me and tried to recruit me to take the position. And so I was kind of hemming and hawing back and forth. So I talked to my husband, Alan, who runs the childcare with me. And he decided that he would continue to run the childcare while I tested this job out.
Awesome way to.
Very nice.
That's a safe way to do that. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, we hired some extra help so that he would be doing things all by himself. And I thought that this was going to be just an amazing job, an opportunity for me to really make a difference because I was going to get to work with childcare providers and work with them to improve quality in their programs. And initially, I was only supposed to be covering two counties. And so it was still kind of, even though there was travel, it was still kind of close to home. It didn't turn out that way. I ended up covering a good chunk of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and I had a lot of travel downstate. And what they were really pushing was this quality improvement program that was kind of a checklist that you kind of had to go through. And they were still working on it. And when I first started, it wasn't a live, nothing was available to the public. And so it was just still, we thought, was kind of slow moving and working to figure out where things were at. And I'm not a person who just kind of takes things for, somebody tells you something, I don't necessarily believe it without really looking into it. And so I started looking at the program, and they never run any of the psychometric tests on the assessments that they were using.
Okay, now back up for a second for us that don't understand the secret handshake. What is okay. that? It sounds like a Doctor Who thing or something.
Okay. It means that they're using an assessment or they're using a checklist that they never tested to see if it actually measures what it says it measures or that it measures consistently the same thing.
So we want, it's reliability and validity is what they should be measuring. Yep. Yeah. Okay. And so they hadn't done that.
They hadn't done that. And so
how did you know?
How did I know?
Yeah. I'm playing devil's advocate. You did. Okay.
I asked. And it didn't have any face value validity, which for those of you who don't know that, what that means, it means when you look at it and go, that just doesn't look right. Mm. And so one of the big things that was going on is they were only allowing points, because it was a point system, for people who had an education degree. So my program, which they came out and they sought me to take this position, was getting the lowest score on the rating scale because my degree was in psychology and not in education.
Things that make you say,
Yeah. And so, all of this stuff is going on and, I'm continuing to do what I've always done with my program and Alan was, running it when I wasn't here and that kind of thing. And so I felt like such a hypocrite going out to help these other programs improve their quality.
In
according to the checklist, I was the lowest on the totem pole. And so I was just really struggling with that. And, and I thought, well, this is an opportunity for me to make a big difference because I can change this. But sometimes working on the inside of the system just isn't as easy as you think that it's going to be.
Okay, so you find yourself at this point where you think this is going to be the great, new, awesome job. Then they're working on this tool first. The tool isn't done yet. It's just kind of floating around there. And then they get it done, and you find out they haven't done the testing, and there you are. What happens next?
Right. Well, at that point, they weren't talking about going live. But then there was all this opportunity to get federal funding for different things. But in order to get certain federal funding, specifically Race to the Top grants and those types of things, you have to have certain things in place in your state. So they pushed this through, or were going to push it through very quickly in order to meet those qualifications to attempt to get that money. So this was in, oh, November, 2 years, not this past November, the year before. And I was on vacation, and I came back to come to find out that they were going to go live with these ratings in December.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it was like, wait a minute, you can't do that because, you know, it didn't seem legal or ethical to me because I'm going, okay, we haven't done the testing on these. This is impacting not just publicly funded programs, but small businesses. And it's really crushing a lot of home childcare providers because there was no way for them to get points without having that education piece.
Yeah, and that so which is something that is pretty rare, not only in the UP and Michigan, but all over the place. That's just not, that's not the way our profession has grown to this point. So that's
right.
It's crazy. Now I got to back up a little bit
okay.
with the question. Now, so you discover that the testing hasn't been done. You ask about that, and maybe I glossed over it. Maybe I didn't. Did you say why the hell have we done this testing at that point? And go ahead.
I did. I was asking a lot of questions because I was asking, well, why are we using this assessment and why aren't we using something that's already been tested or, you know, and then this was just part, the checklist is part of the way that things work in Michigan. First, you do the self-assessment survey, which is this checklist. And then after that, if you are rated at a 3-star or above, you get to have someone come in and do a PQA assessment. Which, my understanding of the PQA, and I was told that I was wrong, is that the PQA was set up to be used with the high scope curriculum. However, they were telling me that it is best practices, and that's why they went with high scope, or with the PQA from high scope. So basically, after you do your self-assessment, if you rate it a 3 or above, then somebody will come in and do the PQA assessment and determine what your final star level is going to be. And so, of course,
whether or not you used high scope curriculum or not.
Correct. Regardless of what curriculum you are using, the PQA was the assessment that they were using to rate you. Now, this was another area that I was just really adamant about asking lots of questions about because it just didn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. Because, yes, there are a lot of things that are best practices in the PQA, but there are a lot of things that are very curriculum specific. There are certain curriculums that if you do things a little bit differently, you might not score well on the PQA in certain areas.
And so it didn't pass your smell test.
No, it did
and
not.
That's just some terminology we've been using with these kind of situations with some other dragon fighters we've been talking to. And so it smells and you're, and so what was their response when it was like, hey, why haven't you done this? Did they?
Well, there were a number of times that I got called into my boss's office.
And boss said, that's a good question that you asked. We'd really like to talk about that and get it taken care of.
No.
Oh.
there were a number of times where I got called in there. And it was a strange situation because I was being paid locally. But I actually, you know, I had a local boss and I had a boss downstate. And so I would get called into the local office, and it was, yes, I understand. I know we need to make these changes, all these things, but can you just not ask questions for a while? You know, kind of thing. And it was like, okay.
You got shushed.
Yeah.
Shushed. Shut up and follow the rest of them. Go in.
You know, and it was like, can you at least let me get through this week before I have to have to deal with, you know, more questions from, you know, where this is coming from. And, you know, and I had a lot of respect at that time for my local boss. And mm-hmm. It was like, okay, I can, you know, I know you're fighting a lot of different things. I can back off for a little bit. And so I would go and I would visit with providers and, you know, share what I knew and work with providers. And I did have a great time working with individual providers in my position. But I could not support what our state was doing in terms of this overall system.
And so let me guess again. So you decided, well, I can't live with it, so I'm just gonna not do anything.
No.
Oh, damn, I'm not getting any of these right. So what do you do then, Amy?
Well, you know, I had all this gut feeling that this just wasn't right. And when I heard it was going to go live, I knew that I couldn't just keep asking questions and leave it at that. So I called up a friend of mine who happens to be a lawyer, and I called up a former professor and friend of mine who does a lot of research. And I scheduled meetings with them and just kind of sat down and I said, this is what's going on. This is the information I have. And I also gave them, you know, information where they could get off of state websites and, you know, other places. So it wasn't just information coming from me to kind of give them a picture of what was going on, just so that I could confirm my suspicions. And I was concerned about the legality of publishing this information to the public with the idea of a parent looking at it, thinking that this is really, you know, the system that's being used to greater rate these programs. And my suspicions were confirmed that what they were doing wasn't legal and it wasn't ethical. So, of course, being the person that I am, I went into my boss's office and I said, you know, I was very upfront from the very beginning. She knew before I went to go see the lawyer and before I went to go and talk to the researcher that I was planning to do this because I just couldn't let it go.
Was there like steam coming out of your ears or something? Or are you like playing it cool?
Yeah. There was. And, you know, and I know that she had a lot of stuff going on because I was doing that in the background up to that point as well. And so when I went in there and I let her know that I couldn't continue to support things, I was asked to resign. So I resigned my position. And at that point, there was basically no transition to anybody else, you know, coming in. They didn't fill my position for quite some time after I left. But my next step was, my intent was never to sue them or, you know, to have these things, but I wanted change to happen. So I rallied some providers together who were already having issues and got a petition going statewide. And I wrote a letter to the team who makes the decisions, initially anonymously, and then I let one of the people know because it took me forever to find out who was making decisions. We just kept hearing this term, well, the core team does that. Well, the core team. And it's like, who's on the core team? Well, I think so-and-so is on there. And I'm like, okay, so is the core team like one person and they're multiple personalities? Or, you know, yeah. Who's really making these decisions? Because it took forever to find out who they were. Well, and then finally, through my contacts and talking to different people, somebody said, you know, I think this guy's on that board or on that core team. And so I knew this person and I emailed him up and I'm like, so are you on the core team? And he's like, yep, I sure am. So I started sending him information. Come to find out that all of these questions and things that I was answering, they weren't ever making it far enough up the ladder.
Oh, shit.
Wow. For them,
you know, for them to get to it. And I know that there's so many pieces to putting together something like this, but to have those concerns not get to where they need to be was a huge issue. And, you know, I don't think things would have gotten to that point had it gotten further up the line.
Well, if the people that needed the information had been getting the information and had been fully informed, it wouldn't have had a chance to go that far.
I don't know if they still would have or not, but it's just, you know, part of where that's at. So
what was his response to that? Was he like, grrr, or what?
Well, I think what happened was is they had a meeting that week because, of course, they were planning to go live within like a week or two.
And on the agenda, the meeting, it says, what the hell do we do about Amy? That was the only thing.
For 90 minutes.
That's the only thing on the agenda. So what goes on then?
Well, the letter was read at the meeting, and of course I wasn't at the meeting or, you know, know any of the details that were there, but it was determined that they would delay the public posting because they had to look at things further. So they delayed it, and I forget how long it was delayed because I wasn't working for them anymore, and it was a really hard time for me because, of course, I live in a very small community, and people weren't very happy for doing what I did, and of course it made it real difficult at times because not only did I lose, you know, that job, but also some of the connections and people who I thought were friends, and, you know, and those types of things. So it was a very touchy time in terms of making things work for everybody because there was a lot of emotion involved as well.
Yeah.
So You know, but it's gotten, of course, time heals a lot of things, and it's gotten a lot better on that avenue. But I pulled myself off of the list because, of course, working for them, I knew the glitches in the system. And, of course, the technological aspect of things, just there's, whenever that you're working with something so huge, there's glitches all over the place. So mm-hmm. I pulled myself completely out of the Great Start system. If anybody were to look for me for childcare through Great Start, you won't be able to find me or my program. And I just, you know, I kind of needed to take some space for myself and regroup and kind of look at where things were at. But, you know, the petition went through, things were delayed, and now the system is live. However, they did make some changes to it. They missed the whole point. You know, the whole point was you're doing this and you're not really looking at whether what you're, you know, the whole testing aspect of it. They're still working on that. They still have not run the psychometric test, but they did change some of the self-assessment to include experience and to look at other related degrees to give points in that area. So when they made those changes, self-assessing, I went from the lowest score to the highest score overnight without changing anything in my program.
That's awesome. And now what we've got, that got two masters who know the secret handshake here. The fact that they put this thing out into the world without doing that testing, what's that mean about this tool? Does that mean it's something parents should actually pay attention to and caregivers should get involved in? Or does that mean it's bullshit? Or is there some place, I guess there can be a spectrum in between.
Well,
that.
I think my question to, before I actually answer that, is the gentleman who you found out was on that committee, that, you know, the secret committee of 10 that the decision making, was there acknowledgement? What, did they even know that the tool, that initial checklist had not, like, passed the validity and reliability muster?
Not only not passed, but not been, never been tested at all.
Exactly. Yeah. And my question is, do we have some honest ignorance here, or do we have a potential maliciousness of trying to pull one over on people who maybe didn't know to ask these questions?
You know, I hate to speculate because I just...
And I'm not looking to put you in a pickle.
I don't know for sure.
You don't know for sure. Okay. Well, it's a valid answer. See, and I think that answer would determine how I would go. Yeah. If you know better and you still put it out there, then clearly the tool is...
Well, they obviously know better now, and they put it out there with this...
But if it's been put out there now and the testing still has not been done on it, there are some that would say it's going to generate bunk data. But, I mean, with all due respect, that's something that's been happening forever. I was a part of a Head Start program during No Child Left Behind, where they were testing all of the kids when they walked in and then tested everybody in the room again with a different tool, whether or not you were in the room at the first or not, and then using that data to decide whether or not that program was going to continue its funding or to get funded. And you're like, that's bunk data. It's, you know, it would be thrown out in a peer-reviewed journal.
Yeah.
And so what happens now, Amy? Are you just going to continue to not be part of it, or is there
another step?
Well, I mean, armor's been beat up pretty bad. Is this something that is worth continuing to fight, or is this something that caregivers should still be riled up about and thinking about, or what?
Well, I think that it's still something that, you know, I have to keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. And something I will continue to fight against as things continue to go. But right now it's supposedly a volunteer program, and this is where the ethics part of it comes in. Mm-hmm. There's no way for you to opt out. If you don't participate, you show up with a 1 star that's not filled in on a 5 stars in the Great Start system. So this is a voluntary program. That
public shaming.
That's what it is, isn't it?
You know, if it gets to the point where they're going to make it mandatory or they're going to start connecting funds to it, then I'll probably, work towards doing something else to make it better. Yeah. Right now, I have so many other things that I'm doing, and they're digging their own grave.
Yeah, exactly.
So you give somebody enough
hope. You know, when you kind of look at where your resources and your energy need to be.
Well, absolutely.
I need to be more in a more positive place and doing the other things that I love to do and working with my children and going out and speaking and doing those other things that I love. But yeah. If it gets to a point where something drastic needs to happen again, I've got my eye on things and I'll continue to do it. But it's not something that I can really focus on a day-to-day basis. But yeah. I've gotten hundreds of emails and phone calls from people that I don't even know.
Hmm. Well, that's kind of awesome. You've made yourself the Dragon Slayer here literally. But now you're sitting back at the castle. You're kind of drinking some mead. Your armor's off of the blacksmith, getting polished. But you're keeping an eye to the window, your nose to wind, just to see if there's any hint of smoke from that fire breathing dragon.
Ear
and he's battling
ground.
Again. Yeah. Yeah, that's the way I visualize it anyway. So one thing, and everybody else we've talked to, this is a question that's come up. We're kind of interested in the personal tipping points that bring somebody from, hey, this is messed up, to crap, I got to do something about it. And that transition, that point where you go from one thing to the other. And so when you find out that this whole system isn't passing the smell test and you decide you've got no choice but to get involved and end up being asked to resign, which, I mean, they could have fired you, pussies.
Yeah.
I can edit that. No, I won't edit that out. So what was that tipping point like for you? Was there a moment, or was it a process, or what was it?
You know, I don't know that I can pinpoint an exact moment. And I think it's just something that, you know, you get all the information. And because at first, like I said, it seemed like it was going to be just a great opportunity.
Yeah.
And we all know that there are great programs out there. And we all know that there are programs that could really use the help of a quality improvement specialist.
Yeah, and it would be great parents to be able to identify which is which. And it'd be great to be able to help those ones that need the improvement. But if they're inventing this, if they're going at it with a broken tool,
right,
nothing good happens. And
right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and so, you know, I don't know that there was a very specific point, but I went in with the idea that I was going to make a difference. And it was, you know, it wasn't really about any of the things, because I just really wanted to work with providers. And I had been doing trainings for quite some time, and so I had a lot of personal relationships with providers already, and I knew that they were taking a lot of the things from my trainings back, and I thought, well, this will be great, because I can actually go into their program and consult with them and work with them one-on-one with goals and different things, which was an awesome part of my job.
Yeah.
But I don't think I mentioned earlier, initially when I had the job, I was only allowed to work with those rating at the highest levels.
Hmm.
So that was another piece of it that just really stunk. It was like, okay, so we're trying to improve quality, but we're going to work with the highest quality.
Well, you think the one at the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Right, and not
silly.
Give support to the other end. And so it was, you know, it was just really, really a challenge. So, you know, so I loved that aspect of things, but it was just, it was very early on that things just didn't start to smell right. And it was like, my thought was, I didn't think that I would be starting a petition or, you know, doing things from the outside. My initial intent was, I'm going to make a difference and I'm going to do it as part of the team working on this.
Yeah.
But when that didn't work, you always have to come up with what plan B is going to be.
And so at that point, were you scared when you were doing any of this stuff, or was it just something like, oh, this is what I do all the time because I'm a badass?
You know, initially, it was the kind of things that I, you know, like to do all the time, because I have, throughout mm-hmm. my life, worked with a lot of programs. I've done a lot of organization on different nonprofits and service learning and different things. And so that's just kind of part of who I am. So being part of a team to make a difference and to do something was just, like I said, it seemed like this is just going to be an amazing job for me.
Yeah, that must have been a big disappointment.
But plan B was really scary, because, of course, trying to find support, there was a lot of support. It just wasn't, you know, goodness, we have Facebook and those types of things to connect with other people who aren't right in your immediate area, because that's where I found most of my support, because there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, people that I could get together for coffee with or, you know, that type of thing as I was going through this. So, plan B was really scary. And like I said, you know, it was, with it being such a small community and you know, the friendships that I lost because of resigning from this position and doing the things that I did, was there, you know, that was really a hard personal struggle. And, you know, to get through. But like I said, life does get better. It was just kind of stormy for a little while there and quite stressful. But
sometimes there's those things in life we've got to take on, and there's collateral damage to in those situations sometime.
Yep. Definitely.
Well, we're running out of time. I want you to give us your, plug something. What's your website? What's your blog? Where do people get connected with you? Because I love some of the stuff you post sometimes on Facebook and other places. And I think, we want to share it with our audience. So where can people find you?
Okay. My program is called Child Central Station. And I have a website blog at childcentralstation.com. And you can find me on Facebook under Child Central Station as well. And I try to be on Twitter every now and again, and Google+, or G+, and I have an Instagram, and trying to think what else.
Amy's kind of a techie.
Where I'm at. I'm all over the place. But if you go to the website and you... you'll be able to click on all the buttons to find me in all the various social media.
Great. I got to tell you, Amy, she's got great posts, photos, some videos that are great. This last year, I was booked for a gig in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and they changed the date and didn't tell me.
Oh, yeah.
And I already had something booked at their other date, and they were as they would be. And I said, well, let me suggest a couple people. And Amy ended up going up to Coeur d'Alene and kicking ass out there too, from what I heard. So that's pretty awesome too. So check her stuff out, because there's all kinds of good stuff out there. We got to wrap it up. Amy, thanks for joining us. We'll see you real soon.
Thanks
online.
For sharing your story.
Thank you, Amy.
And keep kicking ass as an early learning dragon slayer.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and you have my number. So
we'll be in touch again for future stuff. Next time we're recording, you can tell the family hi, and I need to come to the UP again, because that cupcake place was.
Oh, baby cake!
Yeah, it's good cupcakes. Hey, you have a good afternoon. Oop, I clicked you too fast before you could say goodbye. Goodbye. That was it. This has been another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill. Be a dragon slayer. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Hi-ya!
Danita, Lisa, and Jeff would love to hear from you. Leave a message at 888-401-6116 or connect online at facebook.com/childcarebarandgrill.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. For all your wig, party, and novelty needs, check out ustoy.com, the official wig sponsor of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Hey, if you want to support the show, there's a couple things you can do. You can go to iTunes and give it 5 stars. You can visit and comment on the Child Care Bar and Grill Facebook page. You can share the show with a friend, or you can become a patron and support us at patreon.com/explorations.